Good morning. Good to see you here. This is a beautiful fall morning. And thank the Lord for this wonderful day that He's given to us. If you did not get a handout, raise your hand. And we have some ushers in the back who will give you one of these handouts. If you did not get one, we'd like for you to have one. Today is a special day. On Sunday, October 21st, the Diao Bao Church in Taiwan is celebrating their 35th anniversary. I don't know if you can see this picture very well, but this was taken at the 30th anniversary 5 years ago. I had the pleasure of being there with them for the 30th anniversary. This time I could not go. I only recorded a short message for them, but I wanted to remember them in our prayers as thanking the Lord for 35 years that God has given to that church. So, as we continue our series on overcoming, and today we're looking at overcoming part 2, and our verse today is to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare. And we need to be encouraged to overcome. And in our personal lives, in our families, Christ is the head of this house. And we call upon Him to help us to overcome. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You that 35 years ago, through Your leading and direction, that the Diao Bao Church began. We pray Your blessing be upon them today. And Lord, as we come before You in Your presence, we ask that You would draw our hearts closer to You, that You would speak to us. I pray for the anointing of Your Spirit upon Your servant. Give the words that You would have to be said. Father, teach us this day, we pray. And Lord, we pray for those who are weak or sick among us, that Your hand be upon them to strengthen them. Pray for Tim Seabolt, pray for Sister Zhang, we pray for Mike Jared, others, Father, we ask Your hand be upon them, Pastor Darrell Godfrey. Lord, we ask today that You would speak to us in Jesus' name, amen. So as we think about the spiritual warfare that we're in, and I think, first of all, we need to ask ourselves what is God's calling to us? You know, God has commanded us, we saw this last time, to stand. To take our stand where He would have us to stand. To put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Four times here, He repeats the fact that we're to take a stand. You know, if we see evil around us, if we do not take the stand, the spiritual warfare that God has called us to do, to take a stand. And then we're reminded about who are the spiritual enemies. Last time we mentioned these, we fight against Satan, the devil, against sin and the evil around us, and death. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the power of this world, dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a hierarchy of evil. And so, even though we don't see all these spiritual forces, they're there. And it's a spiritual warfare. Last time we considered, first of all, what is strategy number one for overcoming? And we overcome weakness with strength. Our weakness with God's strength. So we're reminded, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. To take strength and to stand. The key question here for today is this. What is our second strategy? We're looking at 8 different strategies for spiritual warfare. Strategy number 2 is this: overcoming falsehood with truth. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. So we're to put on the armor of God. Here we're told there are 6 pieces of this armor. And as you look at this, you can see the picture of this armor that we have been given. But the first piece that's mentioned to us here is the belt of truth. And so we put on this belt of truth. You know, in Romans 13:14, it tells us this: put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about putting on this armor, we're really putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. We put our trust in Him. He is our armor. He is everything that we need. So the armor of God is Christ Himself. Today we want to consider, put on the belt of God's absolute truth. So we look at this today. We might ask ourselves the question many people ask: what is the definition of truth? What is truth? St. Augustine said these words, that truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You let it loose. It will defend itself. And in a sense, that is true. God's truth is like a lion. It defends itself. God's not dependent upon us to defend it. But God's truth is also, we need to understand, it is objective. Not based upon our own viewpoints. It's not subjective, but it's objective. God's truth is absolute. It's unchanging. What was true yesterday is true today. It's independent of the mind of the knower. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. But also, a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. So, truth is not determined by a majority vote. You don't vote for truth. Truth is found that God has given to us His truth. Now, we live in a day of the lies. We live in a day of what's called fake news. We live in a day of falsehoods. Now, some would say that truth is any objective or absolute sense of truth is independent of the mind of the knower, no longer exists. You know, there are many today that say that no, there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. You talk to many people, and this is what they're thinking, that there is no absolute truth. So I want to try to illustrate this to you. I don't know if any of you like baseball. But if you're a baseball fan, maybe this will help you to understand. Illustrating truth with 3 baseball umpires debating their different philosophies of umpiring. So we ask ourselves, what do these umpires, what do they say? Well, umpire number 1, he would say this: there are balls and there are strikes, and I call them the way they are. Balls and strikes, if you know baseball. The umpire stands behind and he calls ball or strike. Umpire number 2 says this: there are balls and there are strikes, and I call them the way I see it. And then umpire 3 says this: there are balls and there are strikes, and they ain't nothing till I call them. All right? Now, if you know, baseball, there's a, over the home plate, there's an area here that strikes. If it's in this area here, it's a strike. If it's outside this area, it's a ball. All right? So, what is the difference here? Think about this. Umpire 1 represents the traditional view of truth. It's objective. It's independent of the mind of the knower. And it's there to be discovered. All right? So this is a ball, this is a strike. It's absolute. But umpire two speaks for the moderate relativism. You know, first view is absolutism. Absolute. This is absolutely the way it is. The second one is modern relativism. Truth as each person sees it. And according to his or her perspective, interpretation. This kind of becomes the second umpire, he would kind of, well, I don't know, I'm not going to put this square there. I'm just going to, as I see it, it's relative to my eyes, my viewpoint. Then umpire three expresses a radical relativism, or what today is called postmodern position. Truth is not there to be discovered. It's for each of us to create for ourselves. So I create truth. And that's kind of the view of many modern people today. They deny truth. It's not absolute. It's not even relative. I create our own truth. And we see that today. And so many people speaking lies and calling it truth. Speaking falsehoods and calling it truth. It's whatever I call it. And it kind of reminds us of what the prophet said, that in the last days, people will call evil good and good evil. They deny absolutes. So, these three umpires, if you're standing there, which umpire would you like to have? If you're pitching, which umpire would you like to have? Now, we think about truth as we find it in the Bible. I'd like to begin with the Old Testament story of deception. Jesus tells us about the devil. He says these words in John chapter 8. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. There is no truth in the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, what language does the devil speak? He speaks the language of lying. Lies. Lies and more lies. Falsehoods. And so we need to understand that. As we look at the example here in the Old Testament, we see, first of all, how that Satan questions God's truth. In Genesis 3:1, remember these words? Satan spoke to Eve. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? Now, God's truth is here in Genesis 2:17. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So first of all, the devil wants us to question God's truth. Is it really so? Did God really say that? And then, not far from that, we see then that Satan then denies God's truth. He said next to Eve, "You will not certainly die." Now, God's truth is very clear in Genesis 2:17. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So to question God's truth not long after that is to deny God's truth. To question, is there absolute truth, is not very far from saying, well, I don't see it that way. My opinion is greater than God's truth. Then thirdly, we see here that Satan adds to truth. In Genesis 3:4, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And here's adding to truth. And that's what the third thing about the umpires. Adding to truth. Making your own truth. Well, if you eat of this, it'll make you like God. Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to be smart and wise like God? Don't you want to be like God? And so we see these three positions about truth. Questioning truth rather than accepting it as absolute. And then denying truth. Well, in my opinion, my perspective. And then finally adding to truth. Well, I'll make truth whatever I want to make it to be. And that's what we have today in the world. Now, we come to the New Testament. Here we see another story about truth. In the New Testament, we see the exchanging of the truth for a lie. And to many, who would hear the truth and not receive it, exchange it for a lie. Here we have the story in the New Testament of Pilate. Pilate also questions God's truth. Jesus said, "In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Christ came to show us absolute truth, to show us God's truth. And then Pilate answered with these words, "What is truth?" Questioning, well, what is truth? And then Jesus, of course, in John 14:6, gives us the answer. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And then Pilate denies the truth. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged or had him beaten. And even though Pilate examined the evidence, three times Pilate said, "I find no basis for charge against him. I find he is innocent." Now here he's, if he's a judge and he found innocent, he should dismiss him. But to try to please the people, he had Christ beaten. He denied the truth, exchanging the truth for a lie to try to be accepted by others. And then we finally see Pilate also rejects the truth. Pilate answered. They keep yelling out to him, "Crucify him, crucify him." So Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him." And finally Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So he totally rejected the truth. "Well, I'll make truth what I want it to be. And if they won't accept it, I'm trying to please them. I'll go that way." So we have to take the stand for what is absolute. What is God's truth? And so this brings us to our strategy number two. Overcoming falsehood with truth. Especially in the day in which we live, we're going to be faced with all kinds of falsehood, all kinds of lies. And so we have to overcome that with truth. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around the waist. As we look at this picture here, the belt had a central function that was vital to the most of the soldier's armor and weapons. Everything the soldier needed in hand-to-hand combat was on his belt. The sword was connected to his belt. It could have been a long sword or a short sword. It was connected to the belt. It was a piece of equipment that was essentially held everything else together. So the soldier had his tunic, his undergarments, and he put on the tunic, and then he put on the belt. And the first thing in preparing for battle, to carry every weapon that he had, the soldier had his belt. And so, the belt of truth, absolute truth. And we think about this, we're reminded of the fact here that God, the Father, is truth. Isaiah 65 and verse 16, "Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God." You know, everybody goes to court, they put their hand on the Bible and they raise their hand, "I swear by the name of the true God." God is true, the true God. So first of all, the Father is truth. And then we see secondly that God the Son is truth. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God sent in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to live among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He had all of grace, all of God's grace and love, but all of God's truth as well. And so we find truth in the Son. And then thirdly, God the Spirit is truth. When the Advocate comes, Jesus said, "When I send the Holy Spirit to you, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father." So He's called the Spirit of truth. He will testify about Me. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit gives us an understanding of all the truth of God's Word. He opens our eyes that we can understand and perceive God's truth. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now, we need to realize God's Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. And then fourthly, I'd like you to see this, that God's Word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. That's why it's so important for us to have God's Word in our hearts. Put God's truth in our hearts and in our minds so that we're not deceived by lies and falsehoods. Now, as we think about application of this, there are several applications that we consider today. First of all, we overcome falsehood by speaking the truth. We're going to hear a lot of falsehoods, a lot of lies. Ephesians 4:25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor." Now, when we hear falsehood, we need to speak of God's truth, God's absolute truth. So we need to know the truth, and we need to be able to speak the truth. Secondly, not only do we speak the truth, but also we are also to overcome falsehood by speaking the truth with boldness. It's interesting to me, the first church, look at Acts chapter 4. After they were arrested and they were released, you know, they didn't pray as they faced that persecution. They didn't pray, "God, protect us from persecution." That wasn't their prayer. Their prayer was, "God, help us to speak the truth with boldness. Give us the courage, give us the boldness to speak. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable Your servants to speak Your Word with great boldness." Consider their threats, consider the lies, consider the falsehoods, and help us speak the truth with boldness. Now, boldness does not mean harshness, rashness. It doesn't mean we're rash, but we're bold to speak the truth so that people might hear the truth. You know, I was a senior in high school, and I remember the social studies class I had. The teacher had different ministers in the community come in and speak to us about what our values would be or what is truth. And I remember even back then, there was one minister they had come in, I think it was Unitarian Church or something like that, and pretty much said that truth is whatever you make it to be. Whatever you want to make it to be, that is truth. And, to speak boldly against that. And many people have this as they follow these lies. We need to speak the truth with boldness. But number three, let us not forget this. Number three, we're to overcome falsehood by speaking the truth in love. Not just boldness, but in love. This is Ephesians 4:15 reminds us, instead speaking the truth in love, just as Christ told His disciples, John 13, by this everyone will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. Now, one mark of a disciple is that we speak the truth, that we believe the truth, that we understand the truth. But another mark of a disciple is also that we have love for one another, that we speak the truth in love. And then number four, we overcome falsehood by living the truth in our lives. Now, this is an important thing. People need to see the truth in our lives. John 8, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Jesus said, for I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? You can see in His life. The thief who hung on the cross next to Jesus said these words, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, pointing to Christ, this man has done nothing wrong. And so we're to live the truth. Usually that's one of the first things that people will ask you. They'll ask you questions. I notice you're different. You're not like other people. Your life is different. We're living the truth. And then they begin to ask us questions about the truth. And that opens doors for us. But let us think about this as well, that truth delivered harshly, judgmentally, unkindly, unsympathetically, and not without knowing all the facts or context, will likely not be heard or appreciated. So, the attitude of our heart as we speak the truth is very important. Warren Wiersbe said these words here, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. You need to have both. We need to have both truth and love. We can't have one without the other. If you go out with truth, but you don't have love, you're going to be very brutal to others. If you go with love but without truth, that will be hypocrisy, hypocritic. Let me illustrate that in a little story here. There was a fourth grade teacher who was recovering from surgery and received a get well card from her class. Fourth graders. So they sent their teacher a get well card, and the teacher received this get well card. It read like this, dear Mrs. Fisher, we wish you a speedy recovery by a vote of 15 to 14, your fourth grade class. Now, speaking the truth is, we wish you a speedy recovery. But really, that's not much love to say this by a vote of 15 to 14. 14 of us voted against your getting better. Now, that might have been true, but that wasn't very loving to their fourth grade teacher. All right? So, truth must go with love. You don't separate the two of them. So, to talk in truth also means that our walk matches our truth. We need to stand up for the truth and be bold. 3 John chapter 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It's not just talking the truth, it's walking the truth. It's not just saying the truth, it's living the truth. That is so important as we live the truth before others in love. They will ask us about what do you believe. They will ask us about the truth. So to talk in truth means our walk matches our talk. Now, a key application here, as we think about this, living the truth in love, it takes confession and correction to live the truth. I want you to consider with me these verses here. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. As we live open, honest, truthfully before one another, we also have to confess our sins to one another. And Psalm 139, we see these words here. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a prayer this is. God, shine your light upon my heart that there may be truth. I may be living reality. And then John 8:32, Jesus reminds us, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now I want you to consider this. Before the truth can set you free, you need to recognize which lie is holding you hostage. The truth will set us free. Jesus told us that. But we allow certain lies to hold us hostage. Now, let me suggest to you some of these lies. I'm sorry, this is kind of revised, so this is not in this presentation. But we need to exchange the lies of the enemy for the truth of God. Lies have to be replaced with truth. And you hear these lies. No one loves me. Young people, you may hear a lie like that. No one loves you. No one loves me. Remember 1 John 3:1, that God lavishes on us His love. The lie, I'm not enough. Remember this, our confidence comes from God. God is all we need. He is our sufficiency. You may feel like I'm not enough. I don't have enough. Or I'm a worrier. That's the way God made me. And remember Philippians 4, the truth. Do not be anxious about anything. Or you may hear the lie, I'm a failure. Remember Ephesians 1, 3. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Or the lie, I'm not a good Christian. This life is too difficult. And remember this, Isaiah 41. Do not fear. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we have to learn to identify and reject Satan's lies. We hear these all the time. And we have to reject these and pray and read the Word of God for truth. So when you hear a lie, you've got to reject that lie and hear God's Word, the truth. You know, God's voice, it stills you. It leads you, it reassures you, enlightens you, encourages you, it comforts you, it calms you, it convicts you. But Satan's voice, it rushes you, it pushes you, it frightens you, it confuses you, it discourages you, it worries you, it obsesses you, it condemns you. And so, are we listening to lies, Satan's lies, or are we going to listen to God's truth? Now, this time of year, Halloween is coming up into this month. A few days. And think of Halloween, we think of ghosts and goblins and tombstones and bats and spiders and witches, and all these things seem harmless. Maybe even fun. But I want you to think about this. All are things that represent the devil really harmless? I'm not saying you can't have a pumpkin. I'm not saying you can't go out and have a fall festival, have fun with that. But we do need to think about this. Things that represent the devil, are they really harmless? Now, I know at Halloween, young people, we often think of this. Halloween, we say, trick or treat. Trick or treat is often said. The trick might be something to frighten you, a ghost or something like that to frighten you would be the trick. The treat is something to sweeten you, like candy. So you carry around your bag and looking for candy. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. Now let me suggest to you another saying instead. Let me suggest to you this saying here. Trick or truth. Trick or truth might be said instead. The tricks, of course, are the lies, the deceits, the falsehoods of the devil. All around us, these are the tricks that we hear. The truths are the true promises, true words of the true God. So what is truth? Truth is objective. Truth is absolute. Truth is found in God and in God's Word, the Bible. So let us put on the belt of truth. That's the first piece of our armor. And we need to put that on every day. Put on the belt of truth. Now, let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We hear many voices today. We hear many falsehoods, many lies. And so we must every day put on the belt of truth. God's truth is absolute. It changes not. It sets us free. God's truth. And when we hear the lies, we need to reject those lies and put on the truth. Receive God's truth. And it will set us free. Lord, we thank You for Your truth. We're bombarded everywhere around us with lies and falsehoods, accusations that are all false and wrong. Lord, help us to look into Your Word and find truth. And help us to put on that buckle of truth every morning, every day, to gird us about that we can run this race and be strengthened by Your truth. Lord, I pray today. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.